Merry Christmas. Is that all you got? Come on. Come on. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. There we go. That's right. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. So we got to get a little excited about Christmas and what's not to like after all, right? You got family. It's always good to get family, except for the ones that are very far away that couldn't make it. I'm not all that sad about that. Oh, come on now. I didn't want them to have to be on dangerous roads, you see? So that's right, right? We love the food, lots of great food. Been eating all week, going to eat again tomorrow. Continue to eat all that stuff that you can't eat any other time of the year, right? And you can get away with putting stuff in your hot chocolate you could never get away with any time of the year, right? Can do that. That's good. And the music, you know, even though I abhor shopping, it's not so bad because you get to hear all the Christmas carols, which I love, jingle bells all the time, and of course, the gifts. How many of you are opening up your gifts tonight? Anybody? All right. How many of you tomorrow morning? That's just about everybody else. How many of you are getting coal this year? After the joke I told about the relatives, that's exactly what I'm getting, coal. I love the gifts, but sometimes, every now and then, we lose sight of what the season is truly all about. And so there was one dad who wanted to make sure that his family this year got Christmas right. And so, like some of you, he gathered everybody together around the kitchen table. They're going to have a family meeting. And he tells his children, this year we're going to do it right. You're not just going to go on the internet and buy whatever is convenient. You're going to actually try and get things for your brothers and sisters and mom and dad that fit their personality, things that they will truly enjoy, things they will keep for a lifetime, things that they will cherish. You can't just do what is convenient. And not only that, he said, this year we're going to treat each other like a family, even the relatives we don't like. All of them we're going to treat like a family. We're going to love them. We're going to show that spirit of Christmas. And not only that, because you don't always appreciate everything like you should, we're going to go down to the homeless shelter on Christmas Eve, and we're going to see what some other people, how they live and what they don't have, so you can appreciate all that you do. It was almost like a high school football coach, you know, getting up to the crescendo right before you go out there. And so he finishes with, this is going to be the best Christmas ever. The best ever. Well, there's always then someone who raises her hand, and it's his little second grader. Dad, I don't think we could ever improve on the first Christmas. And yet we try every year, don't we? Why is that? Why do we think we can improve on what God did 2,000 years ago? And I think it's because we think as the world that it's the wrong gift. I mean, how many of you asked for God to become flesh this year? Anybody? Did you ask for that? You know, I have to admit, a new sweater for me, that's what was on my list. A pair of gloves, golf balls that will last forever and never get lost. You see, if we ask for a God who will become flesh and dwell among us, which is the gift, then we have to admit there is a God, and if he's flesh and blood like us, then we have to have a relationship with him. I mean, it's one thing if a God is in heaven, you know, far, far away, like the relatives, we don't have to see him very often, nor do we have to actually obey his commands, which would make it a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? So wrong gift, wrong package. I mean, Look at the gifts that you're going to give to the people that you love and care about this year. They're all going to be wrapped up, right? Nice, shiny packages with ribbons and bows, sparkles and all those things. This package is a baby. A baby. I mean, way too small for one thing. I mean, we like big gifts, large gifts. And what does the baby do anyway? Nothing. Baby does, well, sleeps, cries, eats, makes a mess. Sleeps, cries, eats, makes a mess. Over and over and over. And that's all it does. So for this gift, we got to wait 30 years before we even see what it's going to do. Wrong package. Wrong gift. Wrong time. You know, if it were me, thank God it's not. If it were up to me, I'd say right now would be a whole lot better time. I mean, think of the mass communication. Have you ever been to one of Emmanuel's children's programs? Yeah, what do? Every parent is up with their cell phone, right? Streaming that thing live. Imagine if the baby were actually being born in Bethlehem. Everybody would be there, the media. What a frenzy we would have. Billions of tweets all over the world. See it live and in person. Hey, Mr. Your Shepherd, I can have the first interview right there. And we'd find out once and for all exactly how many wise men there were. 3, 5, 12? I don't know. Did they ride camels? We'd know if it were today. And of course, Oprah would have an interview with Mary. As we saw those things she's pondering in her heart, we'd actually get to know with limited commercials in between. Wrong time. Wrong gift, wrong package. Certainly through the wrong people. I mean, who would have picked Mary and Joseph? They're nobodies. Mary and Joseph? Well, okay, Joseph, he's related to King David. That's something. But then so were just about half the people in all of Judea, weren't they? And Mary? Wrong people. Let's give the baby a fighting chance. Not born to an obscure carpenter and a peasant girl. How about somebody higher in society? And the 1%ers maybe. Warren Buffett could adopt them, right? Give them, you know, some real gold and don't have to have these guys from the East come and bring the gifts. Put them in the best synagogue, the best private school. But a peasant and a carpenter. Wrong gift. Wrong package. Wrong time. Wrong people. And to whom do you give your best gifts anyway? It's friends, right? And family. The people that we love and we care about. The ones who are closest to us. Oh, sure, every now and then we'll do something for someone who doesn't have as much. We have our angel tree here at Emmanuel. We put a few shekels in the Salvation Army kettle. But wise men, I mean, they're foreigners. Let's call it like it is. These are not even Jews. They're Gentiles. We don't even know exactly who they believe is God. And they're the first ones who get to see the gift. And then there are shepherds. Come on, really? Shepherds? They're on the same level as tax collectors, lawyers, politicians, prostitutes, circus clowns, come on. Shepherds? Literally a forbidden profession because they are so unclean. Religiously, certainly, because, well, they're stepping through the sheep dropping all day long. Can't track that into the sacred temple. But literally, dirty, scoundrels, liars, thieves. Can't even use their testimony in court because they are banned. And so all of it is wrong. It's wrong. It's just wrong. It's all wrong. At least that's what the world says. And yet here we are. I mean, look at all of you who have gathered here tonight and literally billions of people around the world. They're all gathering because even though the world may think it's all wrong, we know not only is it exactly right, but it is perfect. God has given us the greatest gift ever in becoming one of us, flesh and blood. It's the only way we can have a relationship. You know how it is when a little child comes and they want to give you a hug? You get down on a knee, don't you? You come to their level. Or you pick them up and you bring them up here and you give them a great big hug. And that's what God has done. Because He wants us to know that we are all His children. That He loves us so much that He would literally leave the glory of heaven to come down and experience what we do every day. Only by being one of us could He know all of your pain and all of your sorrow and all of your challenges and all of your difficulties. Because He's seen it. He's been through it. He's experienced it. He's done it. And then by being one of us, He grows up after those 30 years and He goes to the cross. So this relationship that He has established with us would continue forever. As wonderful as Christmas is, we know that we still live in a world that is filled with pain and sorrow. And the way that we can get through it is because God is with us. Jesus' name, not only does He say, but He promises He will always be there with us and for us. That's the gift. The one that we could never achieve on our own. And now one because He gave it to the wise men and despicable shepherds. And to sinners like you and me, we know that we can share with everyone, with all of those who are here tonight, and every single person that the Lord brings into our family. The right gift, in the right package, at the right time. Through Mary and Joseph, who had the faith, as I hope you do as well, to embrace the gift of God and the humility. Can you imagine Joseph and the scandal that went through Bethlehem? And he said, I'm up for the challenge. Yes, He's not my flesh and blood, but He has become God's flesh and blood. And I'll take the responsibility to raise Him up and to share Him with the world. Not a gift wrapped in shiny paper, wrapped up in that perfect bow, but wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, on display for all of us to see and to glorify, to worship and honor this night. Everything came together just as God ordained on Christmas, the perfect gift for you and me. It's my prayer that you will indeed have the very best Christmas ever this year and every year, because it's still as wonderful as everything else is, the music and the family and the food and the celebrating. It's still and always all about Jesus, the perfect gift.